Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. Father, just I pray, Lord, that as I bring this word, Lord, I recognise, Lord, I'm just a messenger. Lord. Just a messenger just to bring your word, Lord. Not my word, but your word, Lord. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, if there's anything in this that you don't want people to hear because it's of me, Lord, just do a work, Lord, even now, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you give us hearts, Lord, and ears, Lord, that are just willing to listen to you, Lord, and what you want to speak to us, yes, individually, Lord, but also corporately, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. So if you want to just turn to James, if you have a Bible with you, James chapter 4, verse 7. Out. I don't know about you, but I'm rubbish at finding pages in the Bible. I think that's just really find it quite hard. But there you go, we get there in the end. James 4, verse 7. And this is going to be our root sort of scripture for this message tonight. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm just going to move this out of the way because it's not trending. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've been chewing on this scripture for quite a while. And it's one that we're all kind of aware of, we all know, but sometimes when we know things, or we think we know things so well, we tend to kind of just pass over things a little bit glibly. Sometimes we do that. I do anyway. But sometimes you go back to it and you think, oh, I hadn't seen it in that, like that before, you know. And that's kind of what's happened with this particular scripture with me. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee. So let's just talk about resistance for a moment, because that's what the word's instructing us to do, is to resist the devil, and he will flee. And I'm going to carry on talking. Not going to get anywhere else on that. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So we're talking about resistance. What does resistance mean? Well, it basically means the refusal to accept or comply with something. The refusal to accept or comply with something. Mm-hmm. Remember, Pastor Donnie was talking about, you know, he's given us the power to say, stop. Mm-hmm. It's right behind me there. Mm-hmm. The power to say stop. God has given us that power to say stop. Yeah. And it, that just speaks of authority, doesn't it? When we talk about just stop, you know. We've talked about that quite a lot. But the refusal to accept or comply with something. Now, what can that something be? That could be anything that the enemy's trying to put on us or twist things or anything, really, that you might feel like the enemy's trying to get on you. And we've all experienced that, haven't we? You know, we've all experienced the enemy trying to do stuff. That we have the power to resist him.
Yeah.
Now, this is the amazing thing. Resist the devil. So you think, well, that resisting bit's quite an easy bit, isn't it? You know, we're just going to say, stop, devil, stop. But the thing is, it says here, he will flee. Mm-hmm. Flee. That's quite a strong word. If you look in all the different translations, it's flee, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
I tried to find something a bit more profound, you know, but I couldn't find it. It was just flee. Every translation, flee, or maybe run away. You know? But flee, it's like flee. You know, when an enemy flees, they're running away in absolute terror, in fear of their life.
Yeah.
And that's what the Bible's telling us here, that when we resist the devil, when we actually say stop to the devil, when we actually exercise that authority, the Bible says the enemy will flee, literally turn around, run in the opposite direction, totally afraid of you because you've had the audacity to resist him. Well, I find that quite encouraging. I don't know about you. Particularly, you know, because let's face it, we get overwhelmed with stuff, can't we, in life, and everything, the things of life, and the enemy's coming against us, and so on. We can get overwhelmed. And yet, a simple instruction here is just to resist him, and he's makashon, he's off, he's away, he's gone. So what does flee, the word flee mean? Now that's F-L-E-E, not F-L-E-A. Okay, if anyone's getting confused.
It's a different thing.
There's a big difference, okay?
Yeah.
Very theological difference that we need to recognise. Flee is to run away from a place or situation of danger. Do you know you're a situation of danger to the enemy?
Yes.
I quite like that. The devil actually sees you as a situation of danger. It's a place, you're a place for the enemy to run away from. See, the devil's supposed to be running away from us in absolute abject terror. He's actually really, really afraid of us. Now, I know he's twisted things to make it seem like the devil's really scary and all this, but it's completely the opposite.
Yeah.
We're scary to the devil.
Yeah.
We're absolutely, you know, we are
the
devil's worst nightmare.
Absolutely.
Because he's fallen. Because he's fallen. He knows that where his destination is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sliding down that slippery slope all the way. Nothing's going to stop him. He's on his way down there. So anything he can do to kind of just get some sort of, I don't know, something back from that, what is his future, you know, just to try and get at us and mess around with him and stuff like that, that's all he does. But you are more dangerous to him than he is to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Good.
But we do, you know, sometimes we gauge things by our experience, and I'm sure we've all experienced times when things just seem, you know, it's like, you know, when a bus comes and then two or three come at the same time. Life can be like that sometimes, can't it? All these things, what's going on here? And sometimes you feel overwhelmed and you feel cornered and you feel like your back's to the wall because the enemy's coming at you with all these things. That can be our experience, but as our pastor always says, don't bring God down to the level of your experience. Surely there's got to be better than this back to the wall thing that the enemy trying to get at us all the time. And as I was thinking about this, it was like, you ever heard that expression, resistance is futile, you know? I could hear the enemy sort of saying that as I was kind of preparing this. I thought, no, resistance is not futile. Resistance is completely the opposite of that, actually. It makes the devil turn around and actually run as fast as he can in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So we can feel sometimes, you know, that things are coming against us and our backs are against the wall. Now, there's a couple of ways we can kind of react to that. We can give in, or we can come out fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some people call it flight or fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've heard that expression, flight or fight. Flight is, you know, when you just kind of run away from it, or you just give in, or you just lose all hope. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31. And let's just give ourselves a bit of reassurance if we're tempted to kind of just run away from all this trouble that's coming against us. Isaiah 40, and it's 29 to 31. He gives strength to the weary.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because sometimes we can just feel weak and, you know, the enemy's coming against us and we feel, oh, I just can't cope with this, you know. But he gives strength to the weary. And he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So, you know, when you feel like things are beaten up against you, you know, the Lord can renew our hope. You know, we don't have to kind of cower down and feel defeated. We can our hope can be renewed, our strength can be renewed. And then it says they will soar on wings like eagles. And as we know, eagles, when they soar, they hardly flap at all. You know, do you ever feel like the enemy's coming against you? You do a lot of flapping because you're hard. You know. But it's time to soar, you know, when things seem to be coming against you and going, oh, it's time to soar. There's no need for any more flapping. They will run and not grow weary. That's us. It says that's we're the they.
Mm-hmm.
That's me and you. We will run and not grow weary. Now, I've done a lot of running, like physical running. You definitely grow weary when you do physical running. So it just seems completely unnatural for us to actually run and not grow weary. But in the spirit, we're talking about the supernatural here, so you can keep going in such a way and not get weary. And we can walk and not faint. Amen. So it's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when all these things are coming, and we've all experienced coming against us. It's the reality sometimes of life, these things come against us. But it's how do we respond to that? How do we react? So, obviously, we don't want to run away. So obviously, the answer is to come out fighting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So come out fighting. We can, that devil, we can go out there, we can give him a good seeing to him. Oh, whoa, just hold on. Hold your horses here a second. Hold on a second. Seems like the natural thing to do, isn't it? Because, I mean, let's face it, Ephesians 6, 10 to 17, God's given us all this armour to wear.
Uh-huh.
You know, the breastplate and the belt and the sword and, you know. So surely if we're armoured like this, surely we have a right to go in with the enemy and start giving him the, get out of there. So it stands to reason, doesn't it? Because fight or fly, so we're going to fight, so we're going to. But hang on a sec. Because surely we're equipped for a good scrap. Surely. But just hang on a sec. Let's just think about this for a second. Because what we're dealing with is a defeated enemy.
Yeah.
So just imagine you come out to this defeated enemy. He's defeated.
Yeah.
You come out, come on, I'm going to give you a good licking. You know, suddenly the enemy's like, hang on a sec.
Mm-hmm.
This clown wants to fight with me. I thought I was defeated.
Yeah.
Jesus went to the cross, died, and rose again. I am defeated. Because he does know that.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely truly knows that. This clown's coming across here and wants to fight me. He said, well, I'm up for that. I'll have a bit of that because this person doesn't believe that I'm defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because he wants to fight me. Why would you fight a defeated enemy?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? And I remember it's remembering Sunday today, and we're remembering those that gave their lives in the wars that this country's experienced. Now imagine the Second World War, the Nazis have been defeated. They're a defeated enemy. You wouldn't like drag them out of the prisons or wherever they are and say, come on, we want another fight with you. I mean, that would just be totally disrespectful to those that gave their lives to see the Nazis defeated in the Second World War. And when we go into to the enemy and think, yes, I'm going to defeat you, because it's actually disrespectful to Jesus,
right,
who was completely and totally annihilating the enemy, Satan. Defeated. It's completely defeated. Completely defeated. So why would we do that? Why would we go in there? God, let's go and lock horns with the enemy, you know, the devil, and let's get. You know, why would we even like grapple with them in that sense? So there's a line that we sometimes cross,
yeah.
And it's a big line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big line that we cross sometimes. We go in there, gung ho with the enemy.
Yeah.
And often we come out with a, you know, we come out a bit beaten and battered sometimes. To be honest, but we don't have to do that. That's the thing. We just don't have to do that. It's our natural reaction when our backs are against the wall to come out fighting, isn't it? But then there's this line that we cross and we go into a territory that we have no right to be in.
Yeah.
Because we go into a territory where the enemy is completely defeated. And we're kind of trying to stir things up again.
Yeah.
And he's game for that. He's game for that because we've believed the lie. We've believed that the enemy isn't defeated, that he's got all this power. And he's come, because we've experienced this, these things coming against us, we believe that he's not defeated. Oh, he can't be defeated because I'm feeling all these things. But that's just our experience. As I said, you don't bring God down to the level of our experience.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus never went around. When Jesus was going around, he wasn't trying to contend with the enemy.
That's right.
When Jesus went around, what was he doing? He was doing good.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. Jesus went around doing good and healing all the sick. That's what he was just doing. That's all he was focused on, was doing good, healing the sick. Because he knew the enemy was going to be defeated at the cross.
Yeah.
That was already prophesied and that was going to happen. So he already knew that the enemy was going to be defeated, so he just went around doing good.
Mm-hmm.
The real battle that we experience, really, that this is the real battle, is to simply not let the devil get a foothold. Because he's just trying to get through lies and deception, and that's all he's trying to do is just get a foothold. And remember, he's on this slippery slope down to hell. So he's falling down. And see, when we try and like defeat the enemy again, it's like we're reaching down to him, giving him a hand up and saying,
yeah,
come on, I'm going to fight you now.
Yeah.
But he's already on his slippery slope down to hell, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
That's his destination.
Yeah.
And by getting into that sort of place of fighting with him, we actually give him a foothold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's loads of ways that we can allow the devil to get a foothold in our lives. But that's one way that we often do it. And because it's you know, it looks so good, doesn't it? You know, it looks so zealous for the Lord. Oh, yes. You know, and that happened so many times, you know, like the prophets of Baal, wasn't it? It was like, you know, bring down fire on them and all this kind of stuff. What's all that about? You know, that's crazy. You know, why would you even do that? I remember when I became a Christian, one of the first things I ever heard in church was someone said, if you invite the devil to dinner, he always brings his pyjamas as well. and his toothbrush, and he probably needs a toothbrush because of his sulphurous breath. But that was it. He invited the devil to dinner, he brings his pyjamas. He doesn't take a second invitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give him an invitation, let him get a foothold,
yeah,
and he wants to come in. And it's just deception, it's just lies, you know. So don't even allow him to get a foothold. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, I think, says exactly that. Correct, I think. Might be wrong, might have the wrong verse here. That's been here. Ephesians 4. Losing it there before, maybe we can confirm it. Ephesians 4, 27.
Neither give place to the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty
simple. Yeah. Do not give the devil a foothold.
Yeah.
So don't give him a foothold. Don't even let him in. You know, in the when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, he said something really quite profound, actually. And it's, again, it's just something we kind of pass over. But lead us not into temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, the Bible says that we will be tempted. But Jesus is saying, lead us not into temptation. It's like going a little bit deeper there. It's like saying, don't even allow temptation even to be in a place where temptation can even be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't even allow, you know, don't, like, it's like, don't play with fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't, you know, and we do that sometimes. We can allow temptation to go into places where we know there's going to be temptation and think, oh, you know, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, lead us not into temptation.
Hmm.
So it's like, don't even go to the places where that might even, just stuff might even tempt you or even get on you. It's like, it is, that's what it's about. It's not letting the devil get even a little foothold in your life. It's so important. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 says, take every thought captive.
Yep.
So again, this is another area where we can allow the enemy to get a foothold. Take every thought captive. What does that mean? You know, I don't know about you, but your mind is working overtime. There's all sorts of thoughts going round here. It's not a big distance from your mind down to your mouth.
Yeah.
It's a very short distance. And if we don't take thoughts captive and we just allow them to come straight out of our mouth, they can do a lot of damage.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So we have to be very, we have to show restraint, we have to, you know, we have to be in the spirit so much that we don't allow all these crazy thoughts to come out of our mouth. I remember a story about a footballer and a referee, and this footballer, the referee just seems to be getting at this, he seems to be for the other team basically, and this footballer was getting more and more frustrated with this referee. In the end, he went up to the referee and he said, what would you do if I called you a such and expletives and this, that and the other? And the referee said, well, if you called me that, I would send you off. And he said, well, what if I thought it? And he said, well, you can think what you like. And he said, okay, I think you're a So we've got to put a guard on things, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a the right sort of analogy, but it made me laugh anyway. You know, so we have to put a guard because, you know, the power of the tongue, if you go into James chapter 3, the power of the tongue can cause so much damage. It's like you know, Joe was talking, praying about these Australia, wasn't it, where these forest fires, just one small match, and it's absolute destruction on a huge scale. That's what it's like with the tongue, you know.
Yep.
It can, you know, but it starts in the mind, it starts with thoughts, you know. And if sometimes we allow those thoughts to come out, then it can do all sorts of damage.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we resist? How do we resist the enemy? As it says in James 4, verse 7. Well, if you look before that there, it says, submit yourselves to God.
Mm-hmm.
Submit yourselves to God.
Yeah.
So it's all about being in submission to Him. And even things where we talked about just now, like restraints and that, that's all part of that submission to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's being careful with you, what you do, what you say, everything, that who you are. It's all about submitting to Him and allowing Him to kind of orchestrate your whole life.
Yeah.
Everything, your actions, your thoughts, what you say, everything. Everything's important.
Yeah.
It's all important. We shouldn't just be glib about anything at all. He wants to kind of direct your whole life.
Yeah.
So submit ourselves to God. Now, I'm going to say something here, which, even as I say it, sounds crazy. Turn your back on the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Turn your back on the enemy. Now, that sounds, you know, if you spoke to anyone who knows anything about warfare, turn your back on your enemy is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't turn your back on your enemy. But remember, God's warfare is not like this world. It's completely different. See, God is your rear guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's your rear guard. Turn your back on the enemy. Because
mm-hmm.
the enemy is just looking for attention.
Yes.
It really is. You know, that's why, you know, when we worship Him, this is why it's so powerful, because we're all focused on the Lord.
Yeah.
We're not focused on, such and such. This is a pain, isn't it? No. We're not focused on these little silly issues that we have. We're not focused on, you know, anything else but just the Lord, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just forward facing, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's any time the enemy could attack, you think in modern warfare terms, it's while we're praising the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're completely unfocused on anything that's around us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're praising the Lord, we're just abandoned to Him.
Yeah.
You know, if someone wants to come and attack us, that would be the time to do it. Stands to reason. You know, if that was in modern warfare and you went onto the battlefield and you turned your back on the enemy and you just like, oh, here we go. You know. But that's what we do. That's what we do. We praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And but do you ever feel in danger when you're praising the Lord? You never do, because you just lost in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trusting Him that He's got your rear guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So how do we resist? Well, what we need to do, there's another word apart from resistance. It's an even better Bible word, I think, than resistance. And the great thing about it is it doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. But it's a really good Bible word. The word is resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Resilience. See, it doesn't actually have to appear as a word in the Bible. It's like Trinity. We all understand Trinity, don't we? Father, God, Son, Holy Spirit. But the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible. I've had people say, oh, you believe in the Trinity. Where's that in the Bible? I said, it's not all the way through. You know? Not the word Trinity, but the principle of Trinity is all there.
Right.
And so is resilience. Resilience, isn't it?
That's good.
See, resilience is a product of active resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee the more you practice resisting things, you will develop resilience. It will become a part of you. Because resilience, the meaning of resilience, is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. It's the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. In other words, like toughness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a toughness about you. if you go back online, and there's a whole series that Donnie did about the stormproof life. That's talking about resilience.
Yeah.
It's developing that sort of toughness, you know, and it's a gift of God. It's nothing of your own doing. You know, some people have a bit more stamina than others, but what we're talking about is something supernatural here, that we can be resilient against the works of the enemy. Now, the great thing about resilience, eventually you won't even need it, because as we said, the devil flees. So eventually you'll get to the point where the enemy's just like, I'm not going to bother with that person anymore. What's the point, you know? I remember talking to a guy who's a Jehovah's Witness, and he said when they used to do the door-to-door, and sometimes they'd encounter someone who was just an absolute pain, basically, using, and they would put like a black dot on this map that they had. Don't go to that house, because they're just going to like... they're just going to preach at you, they're just not going to agree with anything, just don't even bother them. Well, that's what it's going to be like for you guys, you know. The devil's going to look at you guys and think, do you know what? What is the point? What's the point of going and messing around with Anne? I've never had any success before. It's completely pointless, you know. So let's not even bother.
Nice.
That's where we want to be, because we've resisted the enemy to a point where he's fled.
Yeah.
And he's not coming back, because it's like, oh, I'm not going there, it's too scary, it's too dangerous.
Yes.
At first they were there. They've got too much authority. They know they've got the authority over me. They know my destination. They know I'm completely defeated. So what is the point? Forget it. So we need to develop the... Oh, it's only you.
Yes.
Attitude.
Yes.
The oh, it's only you attitude. If anyone knows a little bit about sort of Christian history, they'll know who actually said those words. It was a guy called Smith Wigglesworth, and you might know the story where he woke up in the night and there was a knocking and something was going on downstairs. He opened the door and there was a rocking chair just kind of rocking there, and it was the devil, and he just said, oh, it's only you. I'm going back to bed.
Yes.
I'm one of these people, I always like, I hear these stories and think, okay, how did that come about? How did that happen? So I think, well, he was there on his own. Now, why? How did we get to know about that? Because no one was witness to it. Did it really happen? All this kind of stuff. That's just the way I think. So, but then I thought, it must have happened, right? And then he thought, do you know what? This is... My church needs to hear about this, because there's something really, really important about this that they need to grab hold of. And it got me thinking, and I thought, that must have been what happened, because how would everyone get to know about that unless he obviously experienced it, but then came and shared it to the church. And I really believe the point he was trying to say was, you know, we don't have to be afraid at the end. We just have to be, it's like, we have to just turn your back on him. That's all he's worth. He's defeated. It's only the devil. You know, that's basically what he was saying. It's only the devil. But something in that kind of, are we allowed to say that? He's defeated. He really is.
Yeah.
Don't extend any kind of courtesy to him.
Exactly.
It's all about authority. It's about knowing who you are in Christ. It's about knowing that he is completely defeated and he's under your feet. That's not apathy. That's not being foolhardy. That's about having authority.
That's right.
Now, we've been watching the Jesus videos, haven't we? And I love the story of the centurion, the Roman centurion, because it goes against the grain of everything. It's like, first of all, a Roman centurion coming to Jesus is like a no-no. But then for him to say, you know, my servant is ill, but you don't need to come. You know, we don't need a big spectacle. We don't need some big showdown or something with the devil. It says, just say the word and he will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Just say the word and he will be healed. There's no spectacle required in that, you know. And, you know, how often does the church looking for a spectacle for a show or something, you know, something to happen. And maybe because of that, we're just missing things big time.
Yes.
Because we're looking for something, you know, for everyone to see. Just say the word. Now, Jesus actually pointed out and said, he hadn't experienced or seen faith like that by anyone in the whole of Israel. That's what he said. That's some accreditation for that guy, you know. That was the most faith he'd seen in the whole of Israel. Why is that? Why is that? Because he recognised what authority meant. That was it. Yeah, sometimes we talk about power and all this stuff, but authority is power. It is. In fact, it's bigger than power. It's authority kind of goes beyond that, even beyond that. And when we saw Jesus in the desert in Matthew chapter 4, again, you know, you'd expect, you know, a big showdown. Because it's Jesus and the devil in the red corner, in the blue corner. You know, you'd expect a big, big showdown. But it wasn't like that at all. It might have been for the devil.
Yeah.
But Jesus was just, he just spoke the word of God to him. And the devil went and left him alone. So you have a thing like the word of God and how we bring the word of God into our situations. We tend to think of it like this, there's this big sword fight going on between truth and lies. Between the truth of God and the lies of enemy, like they're somehow evenly matched. You know, like when you see these films, there used to be like these swashbuckling films in the 50s and 60s. And there used to be a sword fight. And do you ever see these films, these old films? There's a sword fight. And the good guy, and I kind of got wind of this afterwards, I saw quite a few. The good guy always ended up losing his sword. And he thought, he's not going to die in this, you know, he's going to win. And somehow he would like duck and then get the sword back and then go in there. And it was always like this, you know, it was like 50-50 each other. But you always knew the good guy was going to win. But you tend to think of like the battle going on, the spiritual battles going on, like this 50-50 thing going on. Like there's a battle to the death and stuff like that. But that doesn't happen at all. There's no such thing. The enemy's been completely defeated. There's no battle going on, like big sword fights at all. There's nothing like that. That's just our perception. But again, you know, that's not God's perception. As far as God's concerned, it's done. It's finished.
Yes.
The battle's been won. The battle's over. Yeah. So it's time. It's time for us to turn our back on the enemy and not be afraid to do that.
Yeah.
Not be afraid to do that. Instead of getting, you know, dredging up all these different scenarios, things going on and stuff like that, all these battles that we think are raging out there and trying to go in there and do all this, that and the other. Forget about that. Turn our back on the enemy and all of his works. Just keep praising the Lord. Keep giving thanks to him. And people will come. People will come because they'll think, hang on a sec, they've got something here. You know. They're beyond all this other stuff that's going on. They're going for it. And that's where we want to be. And we can do that. Why? Because we can trust in God being our rear guard. Let's just turn to Isaiah 52. Chapter 52, verse 12 says, "But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard." So he's not only behind us, he's also in front of us as well.
Right.
He's gone before us. And I've just had awesome experiences of this. You know, you go into the next day and you're worried about this, that and the other. And you go in and think, oh no, what about this happens and this happens, blah, blah, blah. And you go and it's just absolutely, it's like the parting of the Red Sea, you know, it's like, why was I getting stressed about this, you know?
Yeah.
And you just go into it and you think, God was here all the time.
He's been here before me, you know.
And not only that, he's got my back as well.
Yeah.
You know, we can actually travel forward and he's always in front of us and all the time. It's like we're completely surrounded by his presence.
Mm-hmm.
How can we ever, you know, be in fear of anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And again, Isaiah 58, verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be in your rear guard. Again, as that rear guard that you know, it takes trust. It takes trust and faith in God to know that he's watching your back, because you can't see behind you. You know, Jesus said, if you look back in the kingdom of God, you're not fit for purpose in the kingdom of God. If you look back, what's he talking about there? He's saying, trust in me. You don't need to look back. Just keep going forward. Don't look to the left or to the right. Just keep looking forward. You know. And if we do that, we'll be released into something really new. Because while we're looking back and we're getting embroiled in all of this stuff that's going on, all these things and religious, it's just distractions. That's all it is. So praise the Lord. That's all I've got to share, actually. So. But praise the Lord. I was just really encouraged as I was kind of putting that together, because it's something I've kind of been aware of for a long time, but not really, really fully understood it, and I probably still don't understand it. But I think there's a real key for us as Christians that when we really, because it's all about having faith and trust in Him, that we just trust in Him, keep moving forward, keep praising the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, you know, when we're in that place, you know, that there is no distractions. You know, even as it's like, you know, you bring in the word, sometimes our minds can work over and we can start thinking about this, that and the other. As we go through the week, there's all these different distractions. But when we're worshipping, when we're praising the Lord, we are completely focused and submitted to Him. We've got to bring that focus and submission to Him into all areas of our
that's
life.
Right.
You know,
yes.
It's not just something we, when we're singing and that's it's fantastic and everything. We've got to bring that into every aspect of our life, you know, and we'll carry the presence of God with us. You know, it's no good just having the presence of God here on a Sunday when we meet together. We've got a responsibility to carry that into the whole of the community, and the opportunities, you know, to speak to people, to pray for them, and to encourage them, you know, because it's a difficult and hurting world out there. There's a lot of people struggling and suffering. We hear stuff every day, you know, with prayer requests and things like that. But this is an opportunity for us to really bring the presence of God and to see Him come through in all these situations.